the Onyx. Well, you see the strippers get all the way to the top and gnaw on the fucking pole. Go down with her teeth.
I'm like,
what?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Bro, what is going on?
I don't.
What is wrong with you, man?
I don't know, but they are hilarious.
Only at Onyx, when you see a stripper with two pieces and a biscuit in between her cheeks and still be able to do a split.
Just last week, I had a conversation with my dancers. They said, hey, yo, you can't be having the customers come in here no more. I said, why not? They said they're making too much money. I said, okay, bet. This week, Onyx, customers versus strippers, round three, Onyx. Explosions, doves everywhere.
OMG!
Welcome to the Kelly Show podcast. I go by the name of Aaron Kelly II, and this is where I'm low-key attracted to Megan Thee Stallion. I had like a 2% heterosexual moment, and I think I need to share this. That photo of the white motorcycle, I was low-key confused about my life this afternoon. I was like, I can deal.
So now you're trying to be like Kodak, huh? You're trying to be progressive, huh? You're trying to be the most progressive radio host in the hip-hop game.
You know what? Indeed. Okay. I am trying to achieve that.
I see what you're doing, Mr. Definitely. Kelly, feel what I'm saying?
But before we get into anything, of course, I have... I'm sorry. What word popped in my head?
Go ahead, man. I know what you're about to say. Go ahead.
I am talking about Mr. No Problem himself, my co-host, She Will for Will.
What's going on? You already know it. She Will for Will, a.k.a. He Ill for Real, a.k.a. We Kill for Bills. That's not what they call me, though. I just had to throw that shit in there since
AKA
Eric always say
Mr.
I need some
butterscotch in your pocket.
Okay. Y'all should have had like a slew of sound effects. Yeah, I heard like bombs and pigeons and pregnant women and pit bulls in that background and stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
All in there.
Eric, get on it.
Work on that for the next one.
Okay, bet. Sure. And then, of course, we have another special guest in the building today. Looking like an accountant, but he's actually a teacher. Welcome to the court, Mr. Justin Mood. How you doing today?
I'm good. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course.
Hey, the kids call him Mr. M, though.
Mr. Mood, whatever you want to call him.
Mr. Mood? Mr. M? Why do I call you Mr.? I mean...
Depending on what mood I'm in, what you gonna get?
Cause he met on their mama, not in their hand.
Hey.
And the voice that you are hearing right now is none other than the genius, the legend, the myth himself, Mr. Black Market, Mr. Jimmy Thompson. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up.
Okay,
I hate you all. But now, Jimmy, how's it going?
I mean, you know, it's great. Everything's cool. It's dope out here.
Oh, my goodness. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and apologize to you all that are listening to this episode of the podcast, because all three of them are ignorant. And it's going to be very blissful. You know, ignorance is bliss, and it's about to be a fucking bliss.
Hey, I just want to say, you know, when I first came to Winthrop as a freshman, you know,
Hold on, pause. Why does everybody feel the need to do this when Jimmy's around? It's the truth. But really and honestly and truly, people that Jimmy put on feel the need to give a history lesson every time he's around. Because I do it.
It's not even a big history lesson.
No, it's not. But it's about to be a history lesson. You know why? Because I feel it coming. Because I want to do the same thing. But I was like, I always do this shit when he's around. I really do. Anytime I've ever hosted Swagger Jack, anytime I ever have him on, like, I had him on my radio show for the Do-Rag Fest, which, by the way, I definitely got in trouble for. But it was a bomb-ass interview. I got a lot of accolades from that around the station. So people liked it a lot. So,
oh, yeah.
Fuck y'all. But, anytime I'm around Jimmy, it's just because, like, you learn so much from Jimmy, just from simply who he is,
right.
And you just feel like you gotta give him your energy. Like, kind of like Goku in the spirit bomb. He's here. you give it to him. Uh-huh. This is what he does when he walks into a room. Uh-huh. So, you know what? People like this, people like me, people like Justin, we appreciate you, man. Now go ahead with your history lesson. I know you want to do it.
I was just going to say, you know, I got cooler with some older people around campus, you know, and they just happened to know Jimmy. You know, and the first time, I don't remember how, I don't know why I remember this. Somehow I ended up at some kind of function at one of Jimmy's apartments somewhere.
Ooh.
The only thing I learned from that night.
Damn. Good luck.
This is no bullshit. The only thing I remember learning that night.
You sure you remembered it? This isn't like.
Yeah. He was like, hey, no matter what you do, just keep doing ignorant shit and keep Winthrop lit and keep it, you know, keep it as ignorant as possible.
And niggas did not listen. Niggas didn't listen to a word this man said because he was preaching and it all went downhill.
They held on for a while.
They held on for a while, but it did not last, okay? It did not last. After you and your clique, that's it. I ain't seen no other niggas hype since then.
I want to say 2 years after me was like the last crew that came in and kind of made a little noise. But that was when stuff really started dying out, because that's when the police used to always show up to shit. Because like my first 2 years, and I feel like we're going to do a lot of reminiscing today since we're talking about college anyway.
Of course.
But my first 2 years it went through, you know, you still had the sack.
Damn.
You still had a scandal for a while. Cascade.
You was around for a scandal?
I was there.
Yeah. Really?
I was there.
Did you have your membership card?
I had a card.
Whoa, you a real one. Okay, you real.
But yeah, Cascade. Damn. What else?
Cascade. My God.
I think this was like the original, the money, before they kept turning into
this. Like the first Swagger Jack after party I ever had, a nigga felt like a celebrity.
Yeah,
it was so dope. I remember I had on a lavender NY hat. I had on this hoodie that I had found. A nigga was lit.
Okay, hold on. We're just gonna stop a minute. For everybody that doesn't know right now, because I'm assuming there's like a million people that are listening that have no idea what Winthrop University is, much less Rock Hill State University. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, I believe the year 2008-2009, I got in an altercation with NAACP at One Day Beats because they were just organizing things so poorly. So after talking shit for 30 minutes in the meeting and stuff, the president said, well, if you can do a better job, do it then. You're the events coordinator. Mind you, I just showed up with a friend to talk shit. That was it. But I took on the challenge. So I did a bunch of like meetings, forums and stuff, and I was like, you know, fuck it, whatever. Like, since I got this organization name, that means I can get any building on campus and do something wild. So let's throw a concert. I ain't got no money, but we can bootleg it, right? So we'll just have people that I know dress up like people that everybody knows. Since I'm a graphic designer, I'll just promote it like it's a real concert. At the time, Shawty Lowe was really big, you know, like Dun Dun had just dropped. So I had him on the fly, and I had people from Rock Hill calling and like asking for tickets for the Shawty Lowe fly. I ain't had no shame, so I was like selling the tickets to show up to Tillman Auditorium to see a bunch of college students dressed up as people
and were doing songs as other people. Tillman Auditorium cannot hold more than 600 people.
Well, it's been holding 800
for years.
For years and stuff. So it kind of snowballed as this joke and sort of like this petty middle finger to somebody in NAACP and turned into like this whole movement.
Phenomenon.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon that lasted way longer than what I thought it was going to, but for like that brief moment in time, every spring.
Shit, are they doing one this year?
The university would turn to an HBCU.
I don't know. I don't think so, though.
I mean, I don't think they need to, but they're still doing it.
They need to be honest.
From what I'm about to say, from the last couple I went to and from what I've been hearing, it's not really what it used to be.
Nah, it's not. I hosted the last one, and it was trash. But then I found out also they were charging $10. I was like, for what?
And then,
to sit in the Tillman Auditorium, but then it was on a holiday, too. So it was a lot
But
going
no,
on.
We've had Swagger Jack on holidays before, and that ain't never stopped the show.
We had it on 420 one year.
420 is not a holiday.
But we had it on Easter weekend one year.
We did.
And niggas was still there.
Niggas came back.
Right.
Yo. They came back from home to make sure they didn't miss the show. And the show was on a Saturday. So Technically, they didn't even go home when you really think about it.
Yeah. So imagine a scenario where you go to a PWI, predominantly white institution stuff, right? You're in the middle of a country, a place like Rock Hill, South Carolina, like the closest big city is like 25 minutes away in the opposite direction of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So it's literally just a bunch of country people and, you know, niggas with gold teeth that you see, you know, like people from other schools would just show up to Winthrop with book bags on. I'm lying, they wouldn't even be from school. Niggas would just show up to Winthrop with book bags on to look like they actually went to the school and stuff, right? So it's not much going on in this city except for a step show that happens every homecoming, which they move back and forth. It used to be dope because we were the only people that had a spring homecoming.
Exactly. Now
they move to the fall, but that's not hidden there. But this Swagger Jack concert would happen, and it would be the only place where you could see, like, some girl with zero vocals get on stage and sing like Keisha Cole, and then you have Waka Flocka come out, and the crowd would erupt into, like, a mosh pit with people on top of people.
Shout out to Brandy.
And then once the crowd comes down and subdues, the Greeks try to party walk, and inevitably the Kappas get in a fight with either Iotas, or the Kappas get in a fight with
and
Albers.
We didn't have Iotas.
We didn't have Iotas in the Kappas, but they were
They got in a fight with Alphas and people that weren't Alphas, too. That shit was lit.
They did. And the craziest thing about it was the Omegas that would come in and be the peacekeepers and separate everybody from fighting, because I literally remember one year the Kappas was trying to shimmy. One of them bumped Ian was getting ready to fight maybe Andre, another one of the basketball niggas, and then Kai swoops out of nowhere like Batman and picks Ian up, plucks him out of the fray, and puts him in a seat. And I was like, this is the most beautiful shit.
This is the most beautiful ghetto shit I've never seen. Ian's not tall at all. Yeah. Kai is 6'2", picking him up. I was like, yo.
Great time.
Lowest the keys, it was beautiful, but lowest the keys, it was chaos. But before, because we could talk about this all day.
Yeah,
before we make this a Swagger Jack episode.
It ain't.
Just shout outs to Jimmy Thompson. Without him, a lot of this shit would not be possible.
Wow.
Okay?
Precious.
Facts.
It's not precious. It's just facts. Like, my freshman year,
because I didn't know what Swagger Jack was, because I had missed, like, the pre-show or whatever. So I had to end up going to the regular show.
Oh, damn. You came when the pre-show was?
No, it was a pre-show that year, I think, but right. I just didn't go to it because I didn't know what it was.
Man, that was my best friend's trash-ass ideal. I did not like that idea at all. It was a waste of everybody's time.
It sure was, but we're not talking about that.
Yeah. But I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was like, you mean to tell me niggas can really get on stage? Like, niggas was up there getting twerks, lap dances, jumping off.
Talk about the rehearsals.
Hey, you remember when T. Burner jumped off the stage and bust his ass?
Yes. Golly. I wish I was around when Quay had flipped off the stage for Cisco. Now, that was legendary. But neither me nor you went through.
That was a good show.
That was a good show.
That was a good show. I know. Like, the first year I had one of my friends dressed up like Erykah Badu, and she came out on
stage.
That
was lit.
Yeah, she came out on stage with, like, a glass of wine, I think it was like a lit blunt or a lit cigarette, threw a stool at somebody in the front row, then walked off mid-song, and the crowd went fucking wild.
You know wild. What? Speaking of amazing performances, shout-outs to Opal, who did Nicki Minaj.
Oh, yeah, legendary.
Mean, think about it was, yo, rapped the whole song, instrumental. She did that shit and sounded just like her, and I was in awe. I was just like, damn, Opal is really doing this shit. She was on a plane.
Oh, yeah, that's,
with
yeah, that's
Dwayne.
A legendary.
But then she fought the AKAs in the parking lot afterwards.
I mean, that was a year, boy.
Twitter just came into existence. The shit was crazy. Old black Twitter used to be so
much
fun.
Me and my friends was talking about this today. Because, you know, they always going and digging up people's old tweets and shit.
Ooh.
We was like, if any of us
niggas
ever got famous and looked at, like, 2010
Twitter before 2012 was wild. Oh, my God.
I'm glad I'm not a wild person on
Twitter. No, it was bad.
No, listen.
It used to be, but not
you probably were wild. Well, you probably were wild. Right. You don't think you are. But if you go back to the start of your Twitter, it's all like some shit you were saying when you was up there. Be like, oh, let me go.
Especially when, like, trending topics was popping.
Yeah.
Ooh,
boy.
Man, what?
I would listen.
Trending topics changed the whole entire game.
Yeah. I would intentionally do shit to get in Twitter jail, and then people will free my nigga. Like,
oh, yeah.
It'll be whole free my nigga hashtag campaign.
I used to get tired of trying to free your ass. Like, lowest the keys, every time Jimmy went to Twitter jail, y'all free my nigga. No, I'm not freeing Jimmy no more, B.
But that,
tell him to just stop.
Twitter jail is like a thing of pride. You like, if you knew you had worked up Twitter jail, you were satisfied.
No.
Listen, these young kids that were born in 1998 don't know the struggle of trying to tell the world some shit and then the whale pop up. When that Twitter whale used to pop up, servers overloaded. My God, I got to go outside.
Damn, they don't know nothing about the whale.
Twitter got capacity now.
Right.
Listen, there used to be a whale that would pop up when too many people got on Twitter. It used to be like during like live events and stuff, right? So like when the BET Awards, the Grammys come on, everybody start trying to talk shit. The whale pop up. Now you stuck. Everybody freaking out.
The whale had little what was it?
Like some balloons or something.
And the birds be pulling it up out of the water.
And at this time, Facebook wasn't set up in a way that it was conducive for you to be talking to everybody at once. It's just like you post some shit. Now people started getting slick, and it was out there like subtweeting people. And they Facebook stats, but it didn't feel the same as on Twitter. It was just faster.
It was, and you can keep up. And then you, as soon as you saw one person subtweet another, you'd be like, "Damn,
I'm watching this."
Yeah.
Yo, if GIFs were back then.
Y'all got it easy, bro. Y'all 1998 kids got it easy, nigga. Damn. Y'all ain't had the struggle to communicate some hateful shit.
What whale are you guys talking about? Like, man, y'all don't understand our struggle.
Right.
The whale was, and that was, damn.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah, you forgot, huh?
Oh, on this episode of Reminiscing on the Kelly Show podcast, brought to you by the good fellas of Black Market and those that love She Will for Will. But moving on to entertainment news, sadly, New Zealand had a shooting massacre. 50 people died, 50 people were injured. And as soon as it happened, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, they got down to it. And they changed the gun laws. And people were willing in that country to give up the guns they already had registered. Which is crazy because New Zealand is known as a peaceful country, right? So for those individuals to do that after seeing that, you know, it's crazy.
Now, well, but you just said they're known as a peaceful country, right?
They're known as a peaceful country. So
is America known as peaceful?
No.
We're not talking about America.
I mean, also New Zealand.
I thought that's where you were going to take it.
I mean, that is where I was going to take it, but I haven't.
Also, New Zealand is pretty homogenous. The majority of the population is white, so it's not they have a lot of minorities there to begin with in the first place.
True.
So it's a lot less the fear. The guy that attacked them, I don't even think he was from New Zealand.
I don't think he was.
He's not a New Zealand native to begin with.
I don't think he was. But I'm just like, we've already had, apparently, which I did not know, we've already had 61 mass shootings in 2019 in the U.S.
Sound about white. I mean, right?
So, 61. And I was like, damn, it's already been 61 in 2019, and we're not at April. That's crazy. And we have not changed the one thing about our gun laws.
No, we're not.
Is that not a problem? Like, is that not an issue? Like, but then again, we have a country ran by a big ass clown ass Cheeto ass president. So it's kind of like, who doesn't think white white nationalism, white supremacy is an issue for this country?
While I'm all for getting on the whites. I think it's...
Don't call them the whites. That's not cool.
Pilgrims is a more progressive term.
But it's a lot... Niggas ain't really trying to give up their guns either. Like, I ain't going...
Why am I going to give up my guns if they still got their guns?
But that's the...
It's like that. You hang up first.
Right.
You hang yours. You turn yours in.
Yeah, I'm going to
think about it.
Nah, I mean, I think... I don't know, because I always, like, when it comes to the black community, I always have the unpopular opinion. But I think sometimes you do have to sacrifice things first. Like, being the bigger person, you do have to come about that sometimes.
You know, so the being the bigger person thing only works out is just, like, a complication or, like, a moral argument and stuff. I'm not going to be the bigger person if you got a gun drawn on my back and I'm in a red state where stand your law grounds still apply. So if you say that I'm scary, that justifies your right to kill me and stuff, right? So in a lot of these places, for me to just walk around unarmed and not try to have no smoke with people, it's kind of silly because self-preservation should be before everything else. I would be foolish to not have my defenses up and be in survival mode, especially if I'm a black man in America and only make up
13% of the population, that means that 40% of the population, which is white Americans, all have their guns. So even there, I'm already outgunned just by the sheer number of people that exist with registered weapons.
So, Squirrel, are you strapped?
Oh, no, I'm not strapped.
I just didn't know. I was like, oh, he talking this real shit? And I was like, yeah, yeah. Does he own one? Because I don't own one personally. I don't think I ever will, to be honest.
Like, you know, I don't have an issue or just position two guns and stuff. I believe that everybody does have the right to protect themselves because I would be stupid to just let you kill me. I know that for me personally, I'm witty and I'm very clever, so I can talk my way in or out of a lot of situations. I know I can de-escalate things.
This is
but
true.
There will come a time, probably soon, where I am going to have to get a little pea shooter, if I'm saying, and shoot a nigga below the waist. Because, you know, as long as you shoot below the waist, it's just aggravated assault. They can't technically get you for, like, homicide or manslaughter or anything. So for all the black people out there trying to defend yourself against white people, shoot them in the kneecaps or ankles or some shit.
Oh my goodness. We do not promote violence on this podcast.
I do.
Please do not.
Okay, Aaron.
I'm saying defend yourself, but don't go out there randomly killing people. That's not what we do.
It was 60 something shootings already. That is what we do. That's who we are.
No. That is, no offense, that is the white man. Like, there has not been, at a 61 shootings, a black man has not steer-headed one yet. And they won't. And we won't. So, no, don't just, I mean.
When in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Wouldn't that make us a worse people, though?
No, it would not make you a worse people.
Okay,
it would make
not?
You a smarter people. Okay, so let's just say that what we're experiencing now is a potential for a race war and stuff, right?
Okay.
Which means that we need to make sure that we prepare ourselves for the offense and stuff, right? We're constantly playing defense as black people. We're very aware of our surroundings, but we're always waiting for an opportunity for our counterparts who want to murder us to make the first move. As Justice so kindly put it, you put down your gun first, I put down mine. They're not going to put down their guns, and they're never going to stop aiming at us and stuff, right? So thereby, you being a proponent for violence or a preemptive strike or being in a situation where you find a way to infiltrate their programs and then take them down from the inside out is the smartest thing that black people can do. Now, we are very wise.
You, have you read this book called, I think it's The Spook
Who Stood by the Door?
Yep.
Oh,
that's
yep.
exactly what I thought about when
Wait,
you were saying that.
Yo.
Spook Who Stood by the Door or Spook Who Sat by the Door.
Hold up. You read?
Yeah.
Books are fun.
Wow, you.
That's what I answered it.
Continue.
Wow.
Also,
I actually like reading.
Oh, okay.
Also, for those of you that don't like reading, this thing's called Cleft Notes and stuff, so you can get the condensed versions of it with most of the information, less words. So it's fun.
Also, you know what? I'm surprised people don't read a lot more because, I mean, everything you do nowadays, you definitely have to read. Like, when you're scrolling,
you
know, I read captions.
No, you don't.
Yeah, but kids don't have a lot of books in school now. Kids, like, compared to how they used to.
Like, you just get yourself an iPad. Like, read something. Like, it's kind of simple.
No, iPad too, man.
I guess, yeah.
That's not how it works, because iPads have pictures, and people use pictures to get context, and when you're on social media, it's big headlines called memes that are along with the pictures. So I could post a picture of Aunt Becky that says something along the lines of Lauren Lolan, whatever the white lady name is.
I think you pronounce it Lolan.
Lauren Lolan was caught up in a scandal in which she did not get $500,000 but was extorted $5,000 by the crewing coach and stuff, right?
Right.
That's what my headline could say. But then the actual information that's legitimate could be in the article below. Nobody's reading that shit. And a lot of times people just put misleading headlines on Instagram to get a lot of comments to boost up the post in the algorithm.
And you know what? While we're here, moving on to entertainment news, Aunt Becky of Full House was caught up in a scandal for paying to get her child's SAT scores changed in order for her to get into the best colleges. Now, she is not the only one. Her, amongst other 50 celebrities and very wealthy people in this country, definitely played a man. Golly, his name is on the tip of my tongue. I hate reporting shit without knowing the actual name of it. But, of course, he's a white man that, you know, collected his cash, changed kids' test scores, and now these kids are often, you know, being in these colleges. Now they're caught. You know, her bail was $1 million.
Probably paid
Damn. Damn.
1 million. She paid $500K to get these two kids into college. There was a desperate housewife that paid as well. Apparently her husband's not going to jail, but she is, which is crazy.
Right.
And I can't remember. There are some other coaches and stuff like that, but those are the two main ones. But Lori is getting the most heat.
Yeah.
So all her shit canceled. So if any of you all that love Fuller House, she's not going to be on it anymore because they're more concerned about the kids that are actresses and actors on the show. So they don't want her to be around them anymore. Also,
all for paying her kid's way or somebody's way in the...
No.
Honestly, I'm not really. I've seen the headline. So, I don't really know.
So
the
this
details.
Is okay. So this is essentially what happened and stuff, right? Her daughter Olivia Jade and stuff. Terrible student in high school. Dumb as a brick.
Dumb as a fuck.
Yeah, she's like she.
She even put it on YouTube that she wasn't going to school.
Okay. She is dumb as a brick, and I can say that because she admits she's dumb as a brick. But her mother wanted her to get the best education possible, and by education, she wanted her to get a degree that will allow her to do anything she wanted without the actual effort. So the plan was they had somebody to change their SAT scores, and she also got in contact with a coach at USC. The crew coach and stuff, right?
Okay.
At which point they bribed him so he would say that she was on their rowing team. She's not actually on the rowing team
at all.
So now it looks like she has a scholarship to attend a school. But she doesn't go to class. She doesn't bother to pass any tests. She just makes videos all day for a YouTube blog.
But yeah, she has an endorsement by Sephora, which is nuts.
So
like,
another case of white privilege being fumbled.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And it's so sad because when you really think about it, $500K is what you paid. You know what I mean? Kids you could have put into college.
No, wait. $500K plus... regular tuition.
Right, because, the $500K was to get her in. Regular tuition, that ain't even covered yet. So, I mean...
Exactly. Retarded, right?
It's just
dumb, right?
It's just the dumbest shit.
Y'all could just gave the bitch $500K to start a business. You would have been bougie.
I mean, honestly, truly, like, if she had endorsements by Sephora, man, have a makeup line, keep it moving, have her work for you. Anything other than spending $500K to get her into a college, both her daughters.
Yeah.
She spent $500K for two kids to get into college. Then, on top of that, after all the snowballing of her going to jail, the kids dropped out of college.
I mean, well,
they withdrew.
They had to and stuff.
They did, but it was just like, God damn, you spent all that money.
I mean, there wasn't no shit anyway. But the saddest thing about this is, it was probably about a year and a half going stuff. There was a lawsuit filed against an Ivy League college. I won't say it's USC. I can't remember. Probably Yale or some shit. But there is lawsuits being filed against Ivy League schools by the Asian community and their Asian legal teams and stuff, in which they're saying that Asian people can't get into these prestigious institutions because of affirmative action.
Oh,
hold on.
Who brought that up? Do you watch political... Gosh, I cannot remember the Netflix show. It's by this guy named Hassan.
Oh, Hassan Minhaj.
Yes, love him, love his show.
I didn't see that, but it's like, I kind of been following stuff a lot. It was crazy, but it's just like... there's now a conflict now. I won't say it's like a fight, but basically Asian students and black students are at odds with each other because there's only a set amount of room at these schools for quote-unquote diversity and stuff, right? All the other spaces go to, of course, like white kids, legacies, athletes, and all the other shit and stuff, right? So...
a sub-race war?
Essentially that's what it is because... it's kind of crazy.
Oh, this new information.
Yeah, essentially that's what it is, but due to affirmative action being in place... schools have preferential treatment of getting a quota of black students in first, right? Those Asian students fall to the bottom. So even if there is, and this is true, even if there is an Asian student that's just as qualified or more qualified than a black student, they have to give that spot to a black student or certain other minorities. Meanwhile, with this whole situation, there are people that are taking up spaces in these schools that not only don't want to be there, but haven't earned it in there on their own merit. So somebody like Olivia Jade and her sister are taking up space from students like these people that are suing these colleges within the Asian community that actually earned a space but can't get it because legally the infrastructure of these systems are so broken that there's only but so many minorities they can let in. And the Asians a lot of time get shitted on due to stereotypes like they're already smart and stuff. And just like the white man's hatred for black folk is now affecting Asian people's lifestyles.
That low key had me feeling bad for being a college dropout. Shit.
Yeah, so you know. God, damn. Fuck that rich white lady and her kids.
Moral of the couch. Story.
Yeah. Yes. But actually, this goes right into our topic for today. Folks, topic of the day is, yo, was college worth it? Because me personally, I'm a college dropout. You know, I decided I was paying way too much money for shit I couldn't control. And we'll get into all of that. But was college worth it? Was your investment given back to you? What have you learned? What were your crowning achievements in college? And have those crowning achievements actually carried you on to the next level in your life? So we're going to start with you, Mr. Justin.
I would say it was worth it. It got me out of the country. Ellery, South Carolina, got me out of there. Got me away from home. I met a lot of cool people, including y'all. Yeah, man. Opportunity. You know, that's the reason why I actually came up there. I had a full ride to Claflin. Mm-hmm. That was Orangeburg. That's right around the corner. So even that young, I was like, you know what? I need to escape. I need to change my mentality. And that's kind of what college helps you do, you know. Thinking of yourself a different way.
It does help a mindset.
Yeah, you know, your mindset, it keeps the growth going. So for me, it helped out that
way. So you're from a small town?
Yeah. One stoplight, you got to drive.
Damn. Where you from again?
25. Ellery. So that's Orangeburg County, in between Columbia, Charleston.
Oh.
So I got to drive 25 minutes to go to Walmart. You know, the bowling alley we had, it has a bad history, so that was closed. If you ever heard of Orangeburg Massacre, that happened there. Mm-hmm. Movie theater, they closed the movie theater down. It's not a lot for people to do down there. So that got me out of there. I needed to escape. So college did that for me. You go to college, you get leadership roles. You get the, you know, it expanded my horizon. Now, do I feel like I got it back? You know, you sign up for the debt part of it. But, I mean, hey, in this day and age, you're going to owe somebody, you know, until you can, you know.
Pay for it.
Until you can work it out. Until
you can be the office. Like, not be the boss, be the office. Yeah, but, yeah, I don't see, I'm from a small town, and I was about to say, the only reason I even went to college because my parents was bugging. To be honest, like, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Yeah. You know, every other day was a conversation about young Eric and what is he going to be when he's older. And me, I'm the type of person that just likes to be in the moment. Like, I don't know what the hell I want to be. I don't know what I want to do right now. But whatever it is, I'm going to be good. Mm-hmm. I've always had a sense of self. So, in a sense, I don't regret going to college because I love college. College taught me a lot. Helped me get to exactly where I am today, and I don't think God makes any mistakes. But also, if I would have thought that if I didn't go to college, I think I still would have been good. To be real with you, I think I'm still the same person. I don't think anything that I'm doing right now was taught to me in college, exposed me, but not taught to me, you know? So I don't really think either way I could have gone either way, you know? But I'm glad I did. I'm very glad I did. Will, how you feeling?
I'm kind of with mood. I gotta say, you know, it got me out of the country. That was honestly the main reason I wanted to go to school.
And where you from?
I'm from Anderson.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I mean, it ain't really Anderson, not as small as Ellery, because I've actually been to Ellery with mood before.
Have you never heard of it?
But Anderson, it's like a city where, you know, pretty much your goals is get like a plant job or something like that. Oh. You know, that's about it.
Never manage.
That's kind of so, like Hartsville. Because Hartsville, either you work for the government, which means you work for the city, or you work for the Sunoco plant. That's it. That's the only way you make money there.
Now, I'll go ahead and say this. This part of that, too, for I think it's different depending on where you are. So South Carolina is one of those places, like we were a slave state. So mm-hmm. some of those same institutions are set up to where, okay, in this town, the closest jobs you can get are the plant jobs, like he's saying. Therefore, your reach isn't as big because you're not saying you never, but only so many people can manage it. Only so many people can, you know, get in a position to where your income is big enough to get you an actual house. So you might be stuck at the plant job, paying rent, never own anything. It's a continuous cycle.
Right.
So I think that's why some of my ancestors, that is why someone pushed the whole education route. So that we mm-hmm. could break those chains that were holding us back. Because it was institutionally set there. That's the reason why ancestors sat right here and fought so bad for schools. Because they need the level of playing field. Right. Otherwise, guess what? We just stuck there looking at each other, twiddling our thumbs, wondering how to make it out.
True. Damn, right. Did nobody go to college to drink? To party?
Like, yeah, I mean, that was a bonus, but I just wanted to get out of Anderson. But like, I kind of think it's a scam, but it's, I ain't gonna say it's a necessary scam, but it's definitely a scam.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's only deemed necessary because our society deems it necessary.
Like, I don't even know now. I don't think society now deems it necessary as much as say 10 years ago.
Well, yeah, like, it's definitely not necessary.
Like, I think, at least for me, kind of like you were saying, like, it was, like, because nobody in my family went to, like, a university. Like, someone went to tech schools, but nobody has, like, a degree. So they, like, my family's, like, military or worked in plants, you know, shit like that, drove trucks. Mm-hmm. So they was always, like, pushing me because I did well in school to, like, go to college, you know, make something of yourself so you don't have to work a plant job all your life, shit like that. But, like, I feel like I would have found a way to be, you know, do something with myself whether I went to school or not. Mm-hmm. So the experiences, the friends I made, I appreciate that. But college itself, it's up in air.
It's man. All right, Jimmy. So, is it worth it? Was it worth it for you?
Oh yeah. So yeah. Okay. I would definitely say that for me, college was worth it. Like I got exactly what I needed out of college, but not in a traditional sense. And I'll just kind of like start us out by saying that. Colleges and universities are a very antiquated institution of education that need to be reformed and restructured, specifically for this new generation. Since information technology is growing so fast and rapidly, it's easy for you to go in your freshman year of one major, and the technology that you went to school for doesn't even exist anymore by the time you get out. So as a graphic designer and stuff, I was going in for, like, print design and production. By the time I graduated and stuff, there's this new thing that existed called UX and UI design. It wasn't even about websites. It was about building interfaces for apps and applications on phones. And that didn't exist while I was still in school.
Damn.
But for me, I wasn't necessarily going to college to learn in traditional sense. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina, right? Mm-hmm. So it's one of the bigger cities in South Carolina.
Right.
But at the same time, if you don't leave, you're just going to end up getting somebody pregnant and you're going to have a family by the time you're 25. And I did, and you know, I didn't want that. I wanted to be able to explore new things in life. And I kind of had an understanding before I got to college that college is a place for non-traditional learning. Colleges are the places where new information is developed. That's what's supposed to happen. It's not like high school. You don't go somewhere to give you a book. You follow, you know, you got answers in the book. You regurgitate it. No, boom. College is a place for actual research, which is why I always get upset with Hotep niggas and whoever else in the comments section trying to be like, oh, I ain't had to go to college to learn how to do this and that. I got the information from a book. It's like, okay, well, that's not the purpose of college. The purpose of college is for you to go there, research, formulate your own ideas, and build new lanes of information, hypotheses, and all these kinds of things. College is a place for you to create and stuff. And that information created in college spreads out to the other people around you, right?
Right.
So it's really supposed to be the structure of you redistributing information and education in new and creative ways. So
as a person, from when I met you in college to where you are now, what you just said, the whole redistributing information, you have done so well with that, to be honest. Because I mean, you really think about it, Jimmy is a well-known underground artist, if I would say so, and well respected. And the way that whatever you have, whatever you know, whatever you can share, you distribute that so well amongst your family, crew that you call family, and then it's infectious amongst others. Mm-hmm. Like Durag Fest, Swagger Jack, there's always something that you create that just goes boom.
Right.
And you literally learned that from college. Just that one thing. If nothing else you learned, like that one thing that you got from that, you definitely did it very well.
College is one of the few places where you're going to have an ample amount of resources and very little repercussions for any of your actions and stuff, right? So
I guess. Okay.
Seriously, let's think about it. Like, everybody's college experience and stuff, there's the partying and the drinking and stuff, right? But that's the actual business structure. And for a lot of people that go to college, the smart ones are able to figure out how this works, how to engage people, how to make money off of it, and how to execute it in a way that you can turn into a legitimate business stuff, right? Back in the day and stuff, like, I always wanted to be a DJ. I didn't know how to DJ because I didn't have the equipment, but I would be making these fire-ass playlists and stuff to play at parties and stuff, right?
And you still do.
I mean, but it's like, as soon as I got out, I was like, well, fuck it. Let me just see if I can try this DJ thing. I realized had I just followed through and played around with these ideas when I was in college, I would be a lot further on in my career now. But I couldn't see the end goal in sight because I was so concerned with I need to be a good student versus I need to be creating things for the future.
And so, that, oh, my fault, not to cut you off, but I think one thing, I get the whole push of people, you know, the way scholarships and everything is set up or the way a lot of families are, they push you to go to college right after high school, which I get that. But I think in a lot of cases, even just looking at myself, I think sometimes it's better to take maybe a year or two after high school to really
take some time off.
Right. To kind of figure out life in general and just kind of learn to be an adult a little bit before you go to college. Because I think a lot of times, kind of like he's saying, you don't really realize the number of resources you have at your fingertips until you're later in your college, you know what I'm saying, your college career. And then you're like, even if you, because I feel like I took advantage, you know, even with the, like, WINR with the radio station, I never had a chance to try that shit in Anderson. Right. So it's like, college did open me up to try new things I never did. But at the same time, towards, like, end of my junior year, senior year, once I'm starting to think about, okay, what the next steps are going to be, I'm like, oh, there was, you know, if I really knew what I knew now, I could have really freaked this a whole different way.
See, that's hindsight.
That's hindsight.
It's always going to be like that. Yeah. We could all do it over again. Like, shoot, no 8 o'clock. No, you know what I'm saying?
Shit. The most, that'll be the first thing.
I mean, well, shoot. Okay, so this is what bothered me the most after graduating stuff, right? I start thinking about it. The most underused resource at colleges are your professors and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you only think of them as a teacher, but in reality, they're an actual working professional that has a history, a resume, and well-networked connections in the field that you're trying to get into and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So even if you can't get the internship, you'll be like, hey, yo, professor such and such, hey, yo, doctor, whatever, I need you to hook me up with somebody in this area, or do you know a nigga that can help because your boy needs some money or something, right? And they'll most likely be like, I mean, your grades are straight. Let me make a phone call. I know somebody. Right. Stuff, right? Where else are you going to have direct contact to a professional? Like, you know they're certified. That's why they're working at your school and stuff, right?
Damn.
So where else are you going to have that relationship, that rapport where somebody actually wants to help you out? And if they don't want to, they're going to tell you why you're not prepared to go into a certain field.
That's true.
So relationships was the biggest thing that I learned about at Winthrop University.
Yeah. I would say the same thing, because I've really learned to monetize relationships. And when I say monetize, if for those that don't know what monetize means, it means, you know, making money of something. And when I mean money, I'm more so talking about currency of, you know, trading creative ideas, being in the know with different people.
So you get paid in exposure.
Exactly.
Huh.
Exactly. So, I mean, like,
I get paid in Cash App, but okay, let's go.
So, but I mean, it's kind of like, for me, the biggest thing that I want to do in life is be a resource. I've always wanted to do that. When I get on, other people get on. The people that are working beside me, whether you're working beside me directly or indirectly, if I know that you're working hard and I can see that that can help me, but I can also help you, that's being a resource. And I've always wanted to do that. And it even became more clear to me when I got onto WINR and became my own, you know, radio show with Harrison. So that became big. And I was like, well, all these people out there that want to talk about stuff, that want to be creative, want people to know about it, I got a radio show. Come through, talk about it. Same thing I'm doing right now. I got a podcast. I got a rapper. I got an artist. And I got another rapper. You still rap?
Yeah, man, I always.
Okay, see? So it's kind of like, you all can do those things, but also I'm an on-air personality. Like in Charlotte, North Carolina, I'm still trying to put people on the way that I can legally. Okay, for anybody listening, legally, I'm not. No, do not try to pay me. I get fired. Cut it out. Stop sliding my DMs. That dumb shit. And also, edit your fucking music. Send me shit. It is not edited.
Get it right.
Radio is edited. Cut it out. Now back to our regular scheduled programs. But yeah, but that's the one thing I definitely learned, is trying to be the resource for others, because that's the way that I wanted it, and I'm actually doing it. So I was, even though I did not graduate, I would say that my investment was given back to me because, you know, I am where I am, and the people that I came with, like everybody here I went to college with, we're on a podcast now. And hopefully somebody can learn from us by listening to it.
Right.
It did. So I hope that I'm showing others that want to do the same thing that I'm doing that it can be done. You know, that's another thing, you know, representation. Yeah. So I think that's a big part of college because, you know, especially when you go to a PWI, you know, there ain't too much of that. Like at Winthrop, I would say, because I don't know anything about Winthrop before then, you know, before I got there. When'd you come to Winthrop?
2004.
God damn it, nigga. Yeah. I didn't get that in 2009.
Yeah, jeez. 2004, yeah.
Jesus. Jeez, you had just graduated by the time I got there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, oh, four. Yeah, but I would say when I went to Winthrop, you know, most of, like, when I got there, you know, it was like 60-70% white, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with the 30% or 40% that we had, I would say Jimmy was a really big part of putting black people on to a lot of different things, thinking outside of the whole let's get red cups and drink all the time, you know. I would say Conrad put me on to a lot of new things as well. Who else? Ty introduced me to a lot of new things. And
Ty.
I love Ty. She's amazing. She's amazing. Just had another baby. Damn, she's pushing new shits out.
Yep, they got a factory.
Right. Just feel just.
Yeah, all
but,
of that.
Yeah, but yeah. So it's just like representation was a really big thing for me. So I guess. Especially, let's start with you. Who influenced you to do the things that you're doing? Because you had to get that from somewhere. Like, on Winthrop's campus, or was it just you? Like, you just thought, nigga, this is me. Like, I think myself some Kanye West shit.
I think the you know what, in all honesty, I don't think I had a lot of influences as far as, like, when it comes to what I'm doing, like, right now. Sort of like the intersection of, like, art and entertainment. Mm-hmm. I think that's sort of like a natural progression of just me being foolish on campus. There was literally a point in my college career where there's this girl that had a crush on me. She gave me a stuffed animal. It was a koala bear. It was a stuffed animal.
A koala bear?
Yeah, it was like a little Beanie Baby dream, right?
That's cute.
Yeah, but like she gave me like, this little koala bear or whatever, and I was like, okay, cool, that's cute, whatever. And she saw me one day. She's like, where's my koala bear? I was like, oh, it's in the room. She got upset. She's like, oh my God, you don't like my gift, you can just give it back if you don't. I was like, all right, cool.
Was he supposed to take the fucking koala bear around campus?
Okay, yeah, exactly. Okay, so you see where this is going and stuff, right?
And
so,
this is in college?
Yeah, this is college, okay?
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, totally. So since she was having like this irrational like breakdown or whatever about this damn koala bear, I took it, I put it on a chain, I started wearing the koala bear around campus and stuff, right? I named the koala bear Squirrel because I was trying to be an asshole, right?
So that's where the nickname comes from?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay, so listen. This is going to explain a lot. All right, so I started taking the koala bear into the calf, Little Africa, and I would just leave him there on these fucking, like, tables and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Mind you, the koala bear is probably about, like, maybe, like, 6 inches big, it has these two beady eyes, no mouth, stuff, right? So I would sit him on the table, and I would, like, talk to the bear jokingly in public and stuff, right? And then it got to the point that people would play along, so people would just come and talk to the bear openly in public while I wasn't there. So yeah. I changed my Facebook account over to Squirrel, and I put his picture up. So I had Squirrel talking to people on the campus, right? So Squirrel said something that morning, it was a topic, people would come. They wouldn't talk to me. They would talk to the fucking koala bear about the topic that was on Facebook and stuff, right? It got to the point that, like, people would try to, like, snatch koala bear and take him hostage and, like, hide him, and it become this game of finding squirrel and all this kind of stuff, right? So it's around, like, my sophomore or early junior year, I realized that
the squirrel made it that far?
Yes. Like, I still have this relic at my house, but it's, I mean, you know, it got to a certain point that I realized that I can make people behave in and out of character dependent on how I react to certain things and stuff, right? So that's where the events and stuff came along.
Mm-hmm.
I can change the environment and I can change people's behaviors based off the things that I do. If I set an expectation for people to do certain things, they follow through. So if I'm talking to a koala bear and I set it up to make this koala bear have a personality, the koala bear talks to me the internet, and I create some kind of safe space where you two can talk to koala bear, guess what? People will talk to a fucking stuffed koala bear. If I create a space for people to come perform as people that will never show up in Rock Hill to do a show, and I promote like it's a real show, I tell everybody it's a real show, it becomes a real show. If I want to do a festival on Juneteenth in which people show up from all across the Carolinas with do-rags on, and the expectation is that everybody's going to show up with handmade do-rags and outfits, people show up looking like they're from Wakanda with do-rags on and stuff, right?
True.
So it's just like I realized at a young age, not young enough, that I can make people do what I want as long as I set the expectations that they can A, do it, and that B, they won't be judged for doing it.
Lowest of Keys, I have Late by Kanye West playing in my head in the background as you talk for some reason. Allow myself to introduce myself. Can I talk my shit again? Feeling like I've been... I can do that all day, but damn...
I just feel like he just dropped so many bars.
Yeah. Yeah, my college experience was meh compared to Jimmy's, clearly. Like, but
here's the thing. Here's the thing. Everybody's college experience was great. You just have to put on the shades to view your college experience in the right perspective and stuff, right?
True.
Sometimes we don't take in and decipher information in the most useful ways. I know that I was getting ready to quit the art department because, one, I had essentially blackballed myself by being a little too vocal and too aggressive with my professors when it comes to critiques and stuff, right? And it's a professor named Dr. Belk, and I loved his classes, and I fucked around, took like 3-4 of them at once. Mm-hmm. So I just...
Hold on. You was taking 3 of Dr. Belk classes?
Yeah. I took...
How did you do that?
I liked it.
How did you survive?
I mean, it wasn't hard. I was already a history buff. I was already a history buff, being from, like, Greenville, South Carolina, and stuff. Like, Jesse Jackson lived there, so I was already hip to, like, a lot of, like, black history and politics and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just found whatever he was talking about really enthralling. I love racism.
He's a great professor.
Yeah, right. he's great. So it's like, I took 2 of his classes at once, and I took another class the semester after that, and I took one more, and then I had a class with Jeannie Wild on race and ethnic relations stuff, right? So I ended up with, like, this sociology degree that I didn't intend to, right? But I was talking to him, and I was like, listen, man, I don't want to go do this art thing. Like, I'm thinking about quitting. You know, I hate it. And he's like, listen, bro, you don't have to love art. Like, if you like African-American history, that's cool. Just use what you know of the art world to tell the story of African-American history. Or use African-American history to power through art. Like, wow. These aren't two separate things. They aren't in a vacuum. Like, you can put these two things together and accomplish your end goal. And I was like, okay, that makes fucking sense. Like, let me listen to the guy that uses rap lyrics to convey points to me. Because he's literally using art to educate people through means of popular culture that they're already familiar with. There's no reason why I can't do the same. So just kind of having, like, somebody there to be like, stop being stupid. Like, you have all the resources at your hand. Just
use them.
Just, you know, just do what you do and get out of here to continue doing
what you're doing.
This isn't the end-all, be-all. Your degree doesn't matter that much in the long run. It's the experience that people really look at.
True. Wow. I don't know, I'm kind of learning that myself right now, just to kind of, I guess, the talents that I have, use them.
You already got them.
You got everything you need. Yeah. Just begin. Use them. Don't think anything that you got to start this way, you got to start that way. No, right. Just pull them together. But I like that. Yeah. Damn, Dr. Bill's still teaching people.
Yeah.
Just taught him, taught me. Like, I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah, he on sabbatical now. He getting a vacation. So, shout out to my digger, Dr. Bill. Hold it down.
I can't. So, Jimmy has told us some crowning moments of his college career, because I had no idea about the koala bear being the squirrel, which became the infamous nickname. So, that was pretty impressive. So, Will, what are some crowning moments that kind of defined you in college, but also kind of was a foresight for you outside of college? You'd be like, damn, this is it. Like, I feel good doing this. I feel like I can take this outside of college, and I'm making it with it.
I think for me, like coming out of a small town, like from okay, I'm from Anderson, which is a small town, but I went to school in Anderson County in a little town called Iva.
What? You didn't go to school in Anderson?
The way the district was set up, I lived closer to the school in Iva.
Oh, okay.
So I was in, like, Anderson County.
But you weren't in Anderson when you went to school.
Correct. So there was basically... I mean, it was a regular high school. It was an old country ass high school, like, but not like nigga country, like redneck country.
Sheesh.
So
Confederate flags pulling up.
Facts. Yeah.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
So it was like for me, kind of like I said, you know, I wanted to go to college to get out of Anderson. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know, because I mean, I traveled a decent amount when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
and I always knew I wanted to do something bigger than I could do in Anderson. I just never knew exactly what. And the only thing I really knew that I liked to do was write. Like, I used to write, like, obviously music or poems, tried, like, writing some short stories and stuff. I just knew I liked to write.
Gotcha, because you get them and you got them.
No problem.
Hey, no problem.
So, like, I ended up going to Winthrop for journalism, which mm-hmm. was a terrible major.
Why?
Well, kind of like what Jimmy was saying. At that time, print journalism was dying out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I had never been exposed to... Because back then, they had either you did print journalism or you did broadcasting.
Right.
I had never been exposed to the broadcasting side.
Okay.
So, like, I never thought that was something I could do or that I would be good at. So, honestly, even, like, with the radio show, that was literally me and Chelsea one day freshman year outside talking, like, oh, hey, I think I'd like to do a radio show. Oh, I think I want to do a radio show. I don't have a host. You don't have a host. So it literally, that's how it started.
Man, boom. I didn't even know y'all were friends when you did it. So I was like,
the thing is, we were cool, but we didn't really know each other that well. That's mm-hmm. why, because we did it for like probably a year or so mm-hmm. before it really took off.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of gave us time to, you know, grow as people, get to know each other, find our chemistry. So, I would say by like second semester, sophomore, junior year, and the biggest thing that I got from college that I think is like helping me now and will probably help me more in the future. I mean, like I got exposed to doing radio. Like I never thought I would, you know, be the type of person to like host events, but you know, I had like a 2-year stretch on campus because of the radio show that turned into pretty much every black event on campus, talent shows, whatever else was going on, pageants, you know, they were like, oh, Will, we need you to host it or whatever. So that just putting myself out more, trying different things, even with like something like, you know, Swagger Jack giving me an opportunity because, you know, I'm into music and shit to learn how to perfect my performances and things like that. So now I can take that and put it in, on some say I'm doing a, if I'm performing somewhere, I'm doing a video,
mm-hmm.
I have an idea, or even being somebody that's directed a Swagger Jack before, I can see how, okay, this is supposed to go this way.
This is supposed to go this way. I do that so often.
Right. Like,
if it wasn't for Swagger Jack, I definitely would not have that mindset.
Right. It's like, I'll even watch somebody's live shows or something like that, and I say, okay, that's cool, but you could have, you know, did this a whole different way or a whole different way. So I feel like, for me, the exposure to being able to try different things creatively
mm-hmm.
is like the biggest thing that I got from college. And I feel like the biggest thing that I'm using now, even with doing, you know, this podcast now.
True. Okay. So his crowning moment, if I'm not mistaken, because you said a lot.
Well, he was dropping so many bars, it was like...
Oh, this man, you Jimmy now, like, he on my podcast, I'm over here like, shit,
my man.
You know, what? This is, you my know, man. What else can I say?
But
like, I don't think there's too much I can tell
my crowning moment, just, one, being able to try things I never would have tried, and then also meeting, like, friends that, even now, you know, with us doing our different things, like, I have... Like, I got a group of friends back home, which they, you know, they my boys. But at the same time, it's like my college friends and my back home friends are two kind of different friend groups. Not to say they couldn't interact with each other, but.
Nah, they definitely are.
It's I have, you know, friends now from Winthrop that can kind of, I can relate to different things to, you feel me? So it's like we can kind of push each other to, even if we're not where we want to be in our specific careers or something like that, like, I have friends that I can talk to about these things or get advice on it, you know, shit like that. So, yeah,
so what's your crowning moment, Justin?
Crowning? Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know if I got a specific crowning moment. Being this Swag Jack, doing things that I never would have expected to do.
Goddamn, Jimmy.
That's one of them, but I say that because, you know, there's the moments where it's like, okay, I want to get out of my shell. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't want to get out of my shell because I would always be that person, like you said, the little situation earlier. I always did that, but it was just a way to get out there, you know.
That shit is still
fun. I'd probably say I was in the pamphlet for Winthrop's education department. You know, and after that happened, you know, somebody's like, oh, yeah, you're the token black guy. And, you know, I was like, shit, fuck it. I guess I am. But at the same time, you know, I earned that, you know. Mm-hmm. So for somebody else to be able to look at it, and I did a little video, like a little, I guess it was an advertisement for the Teaching Fellows program, which, you know, I was like, okay, by someone seeing me do this, then that can be inspiration for someone else so they can know that, you know, I can make. Because when I came in the education department, you know, it's not a lot of black guys in there, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was one. I don't know, man, just saying I did it. And like I said, I don't know if I didn't necessarily do it for myself. I also did it for someone else to know it is a way out. You know, you can be from here, but then get to the point where you don't to here. Yeah,
right.
Where, you know, you may be on stage with all these fine looking people. You're not at home anymore. Where you related to the whole town. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Like those. So I would say the crown of the month was just to be like, you know what? I'm here. I'm not necessarily going back the same way. I mean, there's stuff I did along the way. Whether it was creating a little party circle line around. where they used to have the parties at in Richardson Ballroom. Just like you said, you being able to do something, start an idea, and people follow it. You know, I ain't really had too many, I guess, crowning moments. I'm hopefully that moment's gonna come.
Oh, my fault. That reminds me. Something else I consider like a crowning moment. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't believe this. I was an RA for 2 years.
That shit still blows my motherfucking
Which sounds
mind.
Crazy.
Woo. Yeah, what?
But, you know, I think I would say that's one of my crowning moments because
who let you in?
I was a good RA.
Cool RA.
Like,
come in late night, you good.
I used to already know what time it is.
I was over it. I was like, you are RA. What the fuck are you talking about? And he was like, nah, for real, I was RA. Who let you in?
But like, on kind of like a serious note, I think it was cool for me to be a RA just because it was like, it was a few other black RAs, but I was kind of known as like the cool quote unquote RA or whatever. So it was like, I think it was good for me to be able to, even though these students were just like a year or two younger than me, to be somebody, they felt comfortable coming to me about things that they wouldn't go talk to other RAs or other people on campus about, just because they was like, okay, well, I can talk to Will about this and he's not going to judge me, or he's not going to be in a rush to write me up. Like, he'll kind of talk through it with me, or, you know, give me some advice and stuff like that. So, like, even, you know, being a resource to some of the younger people on campus and shit like that.
Gotcha.
And I got kicked off my flow.
Damn, that makes sense, though.
I got kicked off my floor. They moved me to a whole other floor in the building. And stuff.
He has an act for getting things kicked off, so I understand that shit. Thank you, Jimmy Thompson.
Whatever. You know, it made you who you are today. If you would have kept that show, you would have been whack as fuck.
You know. You
basic ass content for the rest of your life. You welcome. Drop one of those bombs for him. See, you need the sound effects.
I do need the sound effects. Yeah. But, crowning moment that I had, which I think people are going to think is weird. And a lot of people probably don't even remember, but a crowning moment that I had was making the wristbands for Swagger Jack. So, in Swagger Jack, just like Jimmy, in a meeting, I was the events program, whatever the fuck, and people were complaining about tickets and ticket sales and how we're not selling anything. And I was just like, well, y'all keep selling these basic ass tickets. Like, you're making a strip, you're sending it out, people are losing tickets, people don't want to spend $4 for a basic ass piece of paper that we just keep printing off. And I thought to myself, well, how can we change that? You know, what can I do to make this show better? Like, I mean, in general, like, you know, the whole directing people, doing this, doing that. Yeah, you know, I did that, but I thought the crowning moment for me was when I figured that making the wristbands sold a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, it doubled our numbers that year. And they were like, yo, Eric, you did the fuck out of that. Yeah. Then I had them shits glow in the dark.
There's advertising.
It was amazing, actually. And I was impressed with myself. But the most thing I was impressed about was I could be influential. Because for somebody that wants to entertain, you know, being influential is a big part of it. You want to influence people, and you want to see how your influence either helps or creates something for other people. And I didn't think I had that. I was like, especially when you're coming after a tycoon like Jimmy. You know, you're just like, you already in his shit. Sharks. Like, we're here discussing Swagger Jack more than we're discussing NAACP. Mm. Like, that's crazy. And I was like, so we're not going to talk about nothing else. We ain't got no other communities we can help. There ain't nothing else we can do except for this big-ass fundraiser. Okay, cool. Well, if that's what we got to focus on, that's what we got to focus on. But I got to put my stamp on it. And the wristbands lasted for forever. Like, it lasted almost just as long as the actual goddamn show. And I found that just amazing. And I was like, damn, I really can be something out here. If I can do this once, I can do it twice. So, and here I am on 92.7 The Block. I was just like, I'm influential in some shape, form, or fashion. Maybe not to the masses like I want to be, but we're going to get there. And I just knew I could do that after creating these wristbands and really focusing on them and seeing where they could go. So, I know people find that weird because it's just wristbands.
But I remember when the wristbands dropped.
Man, this was fire.
It's cool.
Streets was on fire.
Nigga, I still got my two.
I think I still got a couple of them in my apartment. I gotta see.
This is the Supreme drop that I missed, dog. What's the resale on the wristbands right now? What's the resale on the wristbands right now, if I'm saying? You know, if I was going Amazon, eBay, like, what are they reselling for?
Goddamn,
like $34.50.
I don't know because I ain't bought wristbands forever and I haven't checked them out in forever.
Okay.
Last time I checked out.
Matter of fact, we stole your wristband idea for Battle of the Sexes, and we me and Chelsea went in and split the cost on some. We was like, oh fuck,
yeah. A lot of people started doing wristbands after I started doing wristbands. All of a sudden, it said everybody in every organization had one. I was just like, fuck is going on? I'm like, oh, okay.
Hey, that's the rule number one of PR. You see what somebody else is doing that's working. Oh, we gonna change the name on this. Okay, repackage it.
But no, I like your wristbands though because I remember getting one. I remember getting one for y'all, but I don't know. It was a very proud moment. But then also another proud moment of mine was doing. I can't remember what talent show it was. It wasn't a big talent show. But the only thing I know was I didn't know anybody. I just got to Winthrop like a month in. I got on there. I just danced, and all of a sudden I just hear somebody go, "Get off E-Money."
What you say? Open mic.
No, I don't know what it was. Dude, that killed me. It was some talent show. CJ Wright got me up there.
Yeah, they always do a talent show at the beginning of the year. They used to do talent shows at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. It was either for AOE or the NAACP. Either one. I wasn't with the organizations at that point.
Get off stage.
The only thing I know was somebody said E-Money, and that became my nickname for a very long time when I was like...
Hey, that Tillman stage is legendary.
It is legendary, man. We done had... bitches in bikinis and heels, walk up, people flipping out that thing, a piano that broke.
The last time I remember going to Tillman and stuff, I brought Fanny with me to help DJ. Was that even okay, honestly, I can't remember what stage it was, but we was at Winthrop, and somebody had went to Spartanburg to get a speaker. And when they brought the speaker into the actual auditorium, they plugged it in, it caught fire.
That was Nicole. That was Burns.
Burns auditorium. So we finally had the big auditorium for something, right? I come back as an alumni just to look. I hook people up with a DJ. The communication was bad, so it was two DJs. It was my DJ versus a DJ from the block and stuff. And everything that could go on went wrong. Like, literally, when the speaker caught fire, people out there screaming and stuff.
Wasn't it a fight backstage?
Nicole got hot ass.
The police officer.
I wasn't gonna say her name.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's my podcast. I love her. No. But, I mean, she was Now, she was intoxicated. Mm. Like, there was a whole... No. Somehow, somewhere...
A dude beat her up, though. Like...
It was not a dude. Don't do that. That was Ashley.
No, that was a nigga.
That was not a nigga. That was a girl.
That was Young and May?
No,
y'all.
That was a tall, lanky black man that came in and beat her ass.
First of all, she was trying to fight him, but then she started trying to wail on whatchamacallit. It was a lot going on. And the only thing I know was little old Natalie was like, "You made my friend leak! You made my friend leak!" And she was trying to fight, and everybody was like, "Natalie, man, just stay out of it.
Mind you, to everybody listening, like, all this commotion is going on while the actual show is happening.
So the director
of the show got knocked the fuck out by some 6 foot tall man that Eric keeps saying is a woman. But like, but gender is fluid, and who am I to judge? That was clearly a man.
She did not get knocked out by a man. She got laid out.
She was leaking. I saw the body hit the ground. I looked over and said, "Tung." Because I was tired. I carried a flaming speaker out of the auditorium because the police officers that were there said it wasn't their issue. Wow. Now, in my mind, I'm like, you're supposed to protect the building. If the shit is smoking on fire, why do I got to drag? I don't even go here. I'm just here as alumni to support. Y'all lazy asses don't want to carry a flame. You know what? Never mind. I'll go to school tomorrow. My problem.
I just remembered Jessica was there, and Jessica, when that girl got into the fight, she was like, "Eric, you're not going to do nothing about that." I said, "It's not my battle to fight." It was just so much. But like I said, there was a whole bottle of Jose Cuervo Gold that was gone.
It's college.
You know, so.
It's college.
Niggas was fucked up, and there was a lot going on. So a fight happened, and we didn't see it coming, but. It is what it is.
I saw that coming from miles away. But listen, it's college. That's what happens. That's what's supposed to go down.
Only thing I know is I got blamed for it.
It was your fault.
Like, and I was like, "What the fuck are y'all talking about?" Like, all of a sudden, it all came down to like, "Eric, why were you not there to regulate shit?" I'm not anybody's boss.
You're the adult, Eric.
No, I wasn't.
Were you the host?
No, I was literally the opening act because Natalie was like, "We need a Kanye West."
Nobody does it in the show. Yeah,
nobody does it better than you. And I was like, "I don't think I want to do it." And there's like, "Eric, we need you."
Eric was the senior most person that had a connection to the university.
Okay, he was the adult. Oh,
I wasn't even in college. I had dropped out the year before that.
Like I said, he was the adult. You see how y'all denied this.
I'm mad that the creator got no heat. The creator got no heat. Eric, it was all Eric's fault. Eric, why didn't you call me? Eric, why didn't you call this person? Why are they out there doing this? Eric, why was the show made like this? Yeah, I was like, y'all, I didn't plan none of this out. The only thing I did was plan out my act, and I left. I didn't do shit else.
What do we look like blaming the CEO of McDonald's for the kitchen staff fighting somebody in the bathroom? That's the manager. And you, son.
I'm not even the manager. I had nothing to do with that show.
You was the staff manager. You made the schedule. All them people was there because you said be there at that time. And then you caught the stage on fire, and you had two assault charges in the back.
But then again,
people parents came all the way from Charleston to go cry in the bathroom because
people started to blend that with because you know it was a lot of AK Side Brothers that were helping out that year. A lot of people started to blend that with us, and so when I'm around, it's Aaron, why didn't you do this? And then our advisor is the one that came back and started pointing fingers, and I was like, you know what, man, you ain't gonna do this to me. I'm gonna leave, and I left. I was like, we're done here. Dang, y'all got it. Cool, bye. Dapped up Chewy, dapped up Jimmy, dapped up and gave a hug to Lexi and Jess, and I was out. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I stayed that long? Yeah.
Damn.
Yes. Because, no, we left around the same time.
Okay, I'm about to say that.
We left around the same time.
I definitely ain't stayed to see the end of that one.
Nah.
After every swag jacket, it was like a little scene. After everyone, it was like some kind of drawback. Something.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but normally it came after a lit moment. Yeah. Not literally lit, but you know.
Yeah.
The lit moment wasn't created off stage.
Yeah.
The lit moment was created on stage, which led to other lit moments. This one was just inner bullshit that happened. And poor Olandis, she didn't do nothing. She was the actual director.
Was that the girl that rolled her ankle in the back?
Yes.
She rolled her ankle.
Okay, so listen, y'all. I was going to say this ain't funny, but it's fucking hilarious. So, after the old girl got knocked out, she leaking and stuff, I'm trying to find the president of NAACP so I can get my check and I can dip out. So, I'm around back, and I see your girl hobbling down the hallway. It's like, oh my God, sit down. And her response, no lie, I can't. The show must go on. And I rolled my eyes so hard that they could hear it in the back row. About auditorium, I'm like, I got to get the fuck out of here. This
there wasn't nobody at the back row in the auditorium. They didn't even sell half that auditorium.
Must go on. And those words stuck with me.
Yeah, man.
Forever. I know so much overacting and drama, bro.
Don't do that. Being a director is hard for Swagger Jack.
No, it ain't. It's hard for y'all. Okay, so you know what? Since we've been talking about Swagger Jack the entirety of this program, I'm going to go ahead.
Which
and,
is clearly a crowning moment for all of us. Yeah.
I'm going to use this event. This nostalgic moment that most people can relate to as a learning point to maybe close out on this show.
Okay.
So as
Damn,
Eric,
is this nigga closing my show. What is going on?
You just gotta go with
so
it.
As Eric. So as Eric already stated and stuff, right? Being a director is hard, right? Mm-hmm. But things are only hard when that's not your position or role to play. Sometimes we see things, big shiny things, exciting things, fun shit, and we just automatically assume that since we cannot vision ourselves in that role, it's for us. But in actuality, it's not. Sometimes you want to be a performer, but you're really the help.
All right.
Sometimes you want to be the help, but you just need to be marketing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you think you can market, but you just need to be the nigga in the crowd to taste the good pictures and stuff, right? And there's nothing wrong with fulfilling the role that is best suited for you.
Mm.
Because when you get in a position of power that you're not ready for, nor do you know how to operate or navigate in, guess what?
Okay.
You end up in the back of somebody's hallway with your ankle rolled, laying up against the wall, stumbling towards the door, saying to yourself, against the universe, which is trying to crumple you up like a piece of paper and throw you into the darkness that is the universe, the show must go on.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Kelly Show podcast. What's college worth it? You can definitely hit me up in my DMs on Instagram. Tell me how you felt about how your college experience was and was it worth it. Follow me at The Kelly Show. That's TheKelleyShow. And you can follow my co-host, Will. Where can they find you at?
She Will for Will, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Apple Music, Spotify, all that.
Nah, man, keep going. You got singles to tell these people about.
What the Apple Music for, man. Check me out on Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, whatever your streaming service is. Single Jump is on there, also No Problem. And we got the video coming out Friday for No Problem. I would say the podcast will be out before then, but I don't know when Eric drops these. So the video may already be out by the time you're listening to this. So it'll be on YouTube.
Fuck you, boy. I give you a platform trying to put you on. This is how you repay me?
That's how I repay you.
See?
With
I'm
interest.
Do you like quick and shoot you in your pinky toe. Better leave me the fuck alone. Yo, Moo, tell them where they can find you at.
You can find me. I'm trying to figure out where I want y'all to go. Find me at SCJ Moo. That's my artist page, my personal page, Just In A Mood. That's JUST_N_A_Mood. It's not just a handle. That's my real name, Justin Alexander Mood. You can find me teaching in a local school near you. If they trying to pay me more. If not, then who knows, man? They walking out every day. But until then,
Okay. All right, Jimmy. Tell them where they can find you.
All right. So if you're looking for me, you can find me at $ Damn It Wesley on Cash App. That is $DAMMIT Wesley WESLEY. If you want to talk to me after you give me some money, you can find me on Instagram at Damn It Wesley, DAMMIT_Wesley, WESLEY. And if you would just like to give me some money in hand, you can always catch me at the studio. That is Black Market CLT at BLKMRKTCLT, located at the wonderful Camp North End. It's like two blocks away from the Music Factory. The address is 1824 Statesville Avenue, Suite 106. We stay out there. We have a brunch coming up on this Sunday. I'm just going to assume this is coming out before Sunday, but pull up. It's called Champagne and Chicken, the simplest brunch ever. together is just straight fried chicken and champagne cocktails. If you have any more inquiries on using the space, getting down with the space, intern for the space, or just having a fun black ass time where you don't have to worry about the cops showing up, holler at your boy. Also, send me a dollar. Bye.
And there it goes, folks. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Kelly Show podcast. Like I said, I go by the name of Eric Kelly II. Peace.